What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Good evening. The show begins tonight in wage and price control debate with Liz Peek. Liz and I remember the early 1970s. I believe it was 1971. Richard Nixon took his central cabinet out to Camp David, and they spent a weekend and came back with suspending the gold standard, as I remember, and setting wage and price controls to defeat inflation. It failed so badly, leading to the unemployment lines of 73, 74, the skyrocketing inflation. And when there wasn't inflation, there were shortages. All of that was a consequence of bad choices by Richard Nixon, who was then impeached, threatened, and he resigned. Not because of the inflation, but that certainly didn't help the public mood, who lost confidence in the president and his legitimacy. But that was then. Now, Ms. Harris and the Democratic campaign are proposing to punish price gouging, which is a moving target. Price gouging is something that I will discuss at length with Professor John Cochran at Stanford. He's at the Hoover Institution. He writes the Grumpy Economist blog. I recommend it. He takes price gouging and plays with it. It's quite fun. It's very entertaining. We'll talk of price gouging. In any event, it suggests that the government intervention in prices. Not only does it have no basis in fact, it doesn't work. Why? Was the puzzle that Liz Peek and I speak of. And we don't have an adequate answer other than control, control, control. And Liz said, her understanding, this was what are called low information voters who see it as a good thing that somebody's going to keep the prices down. With our choices in our grocery stores and our markets, there's all kinds of competition. And the margins are very narrow. I believe Liz told me that the margins at grocery stores are 1%. That's all they can get out of all moving out that product. They pay their distributors, who pay their producers, who pay their farmers. Moving on to Europe, where Kamala Harris is a tabula rasa, blank slate. They don't know what she is. They don't know what she represents. They want to learn. If she's a successor to Joe Biden, that's fine with them, because Joe Biden is Europe's idea of an Atlanticist. I speak with Judy Dempsey at Carnegie. She's an Irish woman, the strategic Europe editor-in-chief in Berlin. She's very well experienced. She was a journalist many years for the FT the last time I saw. She's been in Jerusalem. She's been all over the Mediterranean basin and Europe. And we speak of Kamala Harris. Well, we don't know. We presume Atlanticist, we presume strengthening NATO, but that is to come. And then to Mary Kissel, I have a conversation about two kinetic wars ongoing and the Democrats. Two kinetic wars ongoing and the Republicans. The questions rise out of the Democratic side because it's not at all clear that the Democrats approve of, have confidence in, support Israel's defending itself from gangsters. In Ukraine, it looks to be carrying on Mr. Biden's policy of as long as it takes. However, not filled in. Then a conversation with Jonathan Schanzer about the Hamas war, about the Hezbollah war. The conclusion is that Hamas is defeated, and they're arguing over the terms of surrender. Hezbollah, however, is not. And the peppering drone fire and missile fire from the north is unacceptable. Israel can't leave it alone. Hezbollah must be moved back from the border, at least to the Latani River. giving 15, 20, 30 seconds for the air raid sirens for the drones incoming. Maybe farther than that. War. And an alternative would be a diplomatic solution. Jonathan Schanzer does not see that credible at this point. Hezbollah works for Tehran. Tehran is at war with Israel. And then a conversation with my friend Jerry Hendricks, who's back from Lake Huron, for the fourth annual Silent Swarm competition. This is quite fantastic. Swarms of drones, or drones in general, unmanned aerial vehicles, unmanned surface vehicles, unmanned underwater vehicles, married to electromagnetic boxes that can do surveillance, that can do jamming and counter-jamming, that can identify moments in the radio spectrum where you skip between moments so that you can't get blocked. It's all quite fantastic to me, but in any event, this is the fourth annual, and it was endorsed and supported by the Defense Department, the Marines, the Army. No, the Marines weren't there. The Navy was there, the Army was there, and the DOD was there, looking at drone, marrying this to drones so that they can be put to sea and guard the first island chain and the second island chain and the Black Sea. It's not just Navy, but it's chiefly Navy. And there was one man who was controlling surface craft drones and drones in the sky, and they were swarming together. They were working coordinatedly. I'd like to see that. Jerry said it was fascinating. Then Caleb Weiss and Bill Raggio join. First, Somalia, which is called the Afghanization of Somalia, breaking up into factions, jihadists taking over, Islamic Republic of Somalia, headed by al-Shabaab, a.k.a. al-Qaeda. And then we speak of Mali, same direction, a breakup of the country into factions, and following that, the Islamic Republic of Mali. ISIS is there, Al-Qaeda is there, Russia's there, the usual highway robbery is there, the Tuareg are there. It is, well, I mocked it as a Graham Greene novel. I don't think he was that violent. Caleb Weiss reporting from Africa on this Islamic State of Somalia potential, the Islamic State of Mali potential. Gregory Copley's in Perth, Australia, his native land in his native city, Western Australia, very 5 hours from Sydney. It's a big continent, big as America. It's 5 hours, 6 hours from New York to Los Angeles or San Francisco, one or the other. It's big. And he's in Perth, Indian Ocean watching. And we discussed Ukraine, what does Zelensky want? We discussed Nigeria, the high inflation, Tinubu doesn't secure the country, the raiders, the guerrilla warfare by the grazers versus the farmers. And we also discuss what is next for the second island chain. Australia is part of the second island chain. First island chain is Japan, South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, South Taiwan, down to Indonesia. Second island chain starts at the Marianas, moves through to Australia, and then to the Cocos Islands beneath Indonesia, beneath Sumatra. First island chain will be what the Chinese hit, the day, war week, and it will not hold, is the presumption. So the second island chain is being created and augmented so that it can land aircraft and resupply ships and field air defense, because the Chinese are coming. They must break out to keep the U.S. Navy from counterattacking, which it will. Now this is how we'll use nukes. Those are not tactical or strategic weapons. Those are endgame. And it's not clear that either side wants to fight to the end. It's a show of strength. And preparing the second island chain, preparing Northern Territory of Australia, with new bases and new airfields. All of that discourages war, is the thinking. And I agree with it. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.